I have had this word going through my mind here for a month, and that's life. I think we should see life, and we should reflect life, because Christ came to give us life, and that life abundantly. So we should be life people. We should exude life, and we should reach out and follow after life. I believe that that's what we need to do this year. I know I need to do that in my own life this year. Another thing is that we have talked as a staff, pastoral staff, and where's the direction for our year? And we feel that it's in discipleship. And really, that's just kind of learning how to follow Christ the most powerful way that we've ever done before. We sell out to Him. We give out to Him. We just transform ourselves from who we are into who He has made us. And we live that way. I'm excited about that. I'm excited about that. That's going to happen in my life. Like, I haven't arrived. I've been at this for a long time. Some of you have been longer. Some of you are just new in this. But you know what? The reality is that Christ has something new and fresh for us this year. We have not even seen, nor have we heard, the more powerful, beautiful things that He wants to do in our lives. Are you excited about that? I don't want you to make any New Year's resolutions. All I want you to do is fall in love with Jesus even deeper than you are and let Him show you what He wants you to do. And when you do, you're going to just have this wonderful adventure. I've probably mentioned the word adventure before, but that's what it's all about. Now, I want you to follow with me, and I need to apologize publicly here to David, who's translating. I gave him a sermon, or he got a sermon on Friday. And then I spent a weekend with a bunch of young people who are on fire for the Lord, Jacob John's Church, Acts 29, about 16 or 18 young adults. And we were down in Chilliwack, and I was one of the speakers, and I was just immersed in the presence of God all weekend. And I came home, and God said, "You're not preaching that sermon." No, don't go, "Whoa, the pastor is so spiritual." It's I didn't really want to preach another sermon because I had this one already, you know? And I thought it was the one He wanted me to. But what He's done is He's changed my heart. So I put this is what we need to hear this morning. And I said it's vision. For those who can see it, we have one projector showing here. It says Vision 2018. I believe this is the spiritual vision of the church, RPC, and this is the spiritual vision for each one of you to take hold of. It's not Jim Caruso's vision. It's the Word of God. And I just want to introduce it to you this morning. So if you have your Bibles and want to follow along, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 5. And I'll just read this portion of Scripture, and then actually 1 to 4 maybe, and then I'll kind of break it down, and we'll go through it this morning. So, Father, before I read this, that it would become alive. You said that Your Word is like a two-edged sword, and that it's alive. And so I pray right now that these words would penetrate our soul and our heart and our mind, and that we would grasp what You have written through the authors thousands of years ago that's relevant for today. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and finisher," or it says in this translation, "the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy." Oh man, joy. I'll talk about that later. "Set before Him." joy that was set before Jesus while he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition for sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Powerful, eh? So let's let the word speak for itself. So let's look at this first statement here that Paul is saying. The therefore means that there was something before. So he's referring to blah, 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 therefore. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. It says in the verse before that in chapter 11, it says, these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what they had been promised, since God planned something better for us, not just them, for us, so that we can only together with us would they be made perfect. And so what does that mean? It means that those who went before are being completed, not in their salvation, but being completed in the pathway, the plan that God has by what we're doing today. And so we can think of the desert fathers, we can think of the disciples, we can think of all these people that went before us. But that's just some of the people that are our crowd of witnesses. You think about it, 75 years, we had a great celebration. 75 years ago, this church was planted by faith. 75 years ago, they didn't think that this church would be doing what it's doing now. They believed it could be, but they couldn't see it. But we're seeing it. We're seeing the blood, sweat, and tears and prayers of so many saints that went before us. Some of you know them. Some of you are related to them. And because of them and their vision and God sending pastors, this church is on fire and the harvest is coming in. I'm excited that this kid, because I'm not 75 yet, wasn't even thought of. And what did God do? He just saw so far in the future that one day that I would pastor this church and be allowed to watch what he's doing in this world today and in the lives of people. But you know, I have my own crowd of witnesses around me. I have people that led me to Jesus, people prayed for me, people who supported me, encouraged me. You have them too. And you also are them. I would encourage you this year to be the most encouraging, supportive, and person who's known for blessing that you could ever imagine in people's lives. And I'll tell you, if you set out to do that, you're going to get sideswiped lots. You're going to get attacked. You're going to get beaten up. And you're going to get discouraged. You're going to say, stupid, I'm not going to do this anymore. But keep on doing it because Jesus did it. Jesus did it for us. We just hang in there. It's worth it. It's worth the fight. I don't know whether any of you are street fighters, but I did a few of them. And sometimes it was just so exciting to win, not as exciting to lose, especially if there were teeth included. But the thing is that it's the victory in Jesus Christ that we already have because the battle has been won. It is finished. The battle is over. The enemy is put down. He cannot rise up unless you give him power to rise up. And you don't want to do that. You know, we have not received what we've been promised yet either. We've got pieces and parts of that. We're promised eternal life. Some of us think that only actually happens when Jesus comes back or we go to heaven. It's not true. It happens right now, and you can live that eternal life right now. So then it says, let us throw off everything that hinders and that the sin so easy entangles us. Throw off. Just take it off. Take the jacket off. Take the boots off. Whatever's hindering your pathway, take it off. Throw it away. You know what it's like when you're walking through a place and your feet get tangled up and you just, you know, trip and fall? And well, kick that stuff away. Matter of fact, don't even get in the pathway of it. If you see a bunch of fishing nets or a bunch of cables, I remember tripping in my welding shop many times because I would have cables all over, electrical cords, cutting torches, everything, and I'd go to get something and I would trip. And I was glad I worked by myself, then you don't look so foolish when you're picking yourself up. But, you know, all it took was I just cleaned the shop up, took the metal out, you know, the things that were all in the way, cleaned my shop up, and it was easier, and I didn't get entangled in that stuff. What's entangling your life? What's holding your feet back? What's holding your wrists down? What's clouding your mind? So it says here, for we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died is free from sin. Romans chapter 6, great chapter to read. You are dead to sin and alive to, you're alive to God, you're alive. Hallelujah. You're alive. How many of you feel alive this morning? All of you are. You wouldn't be here if you weren't. You're alive and alive forevermore in Jesus Christ. You need to start living alive. You need to start putting that in every part of your being. Put it into your marriage. Put it into your job. Put it into your life. Put it into your finances. Put it into everything that you do. You need to be alive. Because I tell you, when somebody sees somebody alive, they're way more excited than when they see somebody who's dead. Really, that's the truth. Everybody just kind of, I don't want to be there. But when somebody's alive and somebody's radiantly alive, you know, somebody who just comes and just lights up the whole room, that's the kind of person you want to kind of see and be seen around. And when that person is reflecting Jesus and you're reflecting Jesus, can you imagine the lumens? You know what are lumens? They're just the power that they regulate how much power that light bulb has, how many lumens. We need to be at the full capacity of our lumens in Jesus Christ. And so once your feet are untangled, once you've thrown off everything. Can you imagine? I remember it says, let us run with perseverance the race marked out before us. When I was a volunteer firefighter, they had this contest. And you'd put all your gear on. And then you'd put a bottle of oxygen or a bottle of air on the back. And then you'd take 150 feet of hose, maybe 75 feet of hose. And then you'd run up and down the stairs. That is foolish. That's really heavy. That gear is really heavy. That bottle on your back is really heavy. And so I could run up and down the stairs a lot easier without all those encumbrances. What is encumbering you? Because God wants you to not go, oh, let's get to heaven. Maybe I'll just lie down and go to sleep for a while. He wants you to run. I don't run very well. Actually, I scare people when I run because things are jiggling all over and I'm, you know, and then my knees are sore and I'm going and I don't focus on my environment. I focus on I just run to this. I don't even know that there might be a $100 bill there, but I'm not seeing it. All I want to do is I want to make the next mark and be alive doing it. That's not what Christ has for us. You know what Christ has for us? Is that you run the race and you see what's around you. And your knees don't hurt when you're running his race. my kids were here, they'd say, Dad, you're yelling. Because I'm excited. With perseverance. It's great to start out. I remember I did the 10K run in Victoria. The Times Colonist 10K run. There was 10,000 people that ran, literally. They had broken them up in groups. I was in the very last group. People with strollers, people with walkers. That's the group I was in. And I had bought brand new runners, because that's what you do when you go to run. And I worked out, man. I worked out, and I was down to my the same weight I was in grade two. That was 220 pounds. Perfect weight. Might as well go, just keep on going with that. So I was down, and I'd worked, and I could run 10K with these really light, expensive slipper runners that were awesome colors. People like to see your feet moving with awesome orange or blue, or orange and blue, or black and blue, because that's usually what happens with your feet after. So I'm out there, and Elaine's with me, and she's encouraging me, and I'm all ready, and then we get, and they go, you know that sound there? And then, whoop, off we go. And I get shin splints. You know what shin splints are? Is from here down to your toes, it's just like somebody's just taking a big baseball bat and smacking you every time you move your foot. And I'm running like this. Not fleet-footed anymore. And I'm going, I only have 10 more K to go. And I'm thinking, and here's the people that are pregnant with their kids in the walkers and the strollers, and they're going by me. And I'm going like this. Honest, I'm telling you the truth. I didn't make this up. And it's like this, and then there's tears in my eyes because it hurts so much. And I said, I don't care if they fall off. Well, I probably would care. I wanted to make it. So I kept going. And it was about 2.5 to 3 kilometers before my leg said, it ain't going to work. He's going to go and do it anyway. And the pain went away. And literally thousands of people went by me, because you go up and you make this horseshoe and then you come back through Victoria. So I'm with the people with the strollers and some of the people out of the rest homes, I think, were even in there. And I'm with them, and I'm doing the best I can. There's a helicopter, because I used to be a paramedic there. They know me, and they're flying a helicopter over in case they need to drop down and give me, you know, mouth-to-mouth or something in case I die. And I come through. And it's kind of nice when you're that far back. I came through the gate, and the gate was, and it says, Jim Caruso. They announced it. Like, there's nobody else around. I mean, even the cameras and everything were gone by then. But they announced Jim Caruso, and I made it through. I endured. This is what Jesus is talking about here. He wants you to endure this race before you. And some of you will be really good at running, and some of you will not, and some of you will get shin splints in the beginning or the middle or the end. Let me tell you something. Just keep running. Throw off all the stuff that holds you back. Throw off your backpack of sin. Throw off this and that and the next thing so that you can run and you can just end up going through that gate. And Jesus said, welcome home, Jim Caruso, my good and faithful servant. Because he is going to. That's a promise he said in his word. We're going to fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Keep your eyes on him. Don't even look at the stuff that's going on around you. Honestly, this world will tear you down. This thing and the other one, you know, that you can't live without, this one, they'll pull you apart if you are connected with them more than you are with Jesus Christ. Yeah. Honestly. You got to keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't even keep them on me. I know Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Look, follow Christ and have people follow you. But don't look to any one person. Look to one person, the person, Jesus Christ. For the joy set before him. Look, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. For the joy set before him. The joy of enduring the cross. Boy, does that ever sound like a good statement? It's almost contradictory. It destroys itself in it and scorning its shame. Oh, please understand, when Jesus went to the cross, it wasn't something like, hey, politically, guess what? I'm going to the cross for your sins. What does that mean? It means that he was humiliated, shamed, stripped naked, beaten, hung on a cross publicly for everybody to see, hung with criminals. For who? For you, for me. He was the only one in all of this entire world who died without sin. Nobody else died without sin, only Jesus. So he could die for us who have sin. Now he has been made the receptor of all our sins. For the cross, or for the joy set before him, he had joy. Joy. You know why? Because you're here this morning. You know why? Because people's lives are changed by the message that we're talking about. They're changed by your life. They're changed forever. It says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ and any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded and having the same love, being one in the Spirit and one in mind. So that's what Philippians tells us. Be like him. And have that, and you're going to have joy. You know, I struggle with joy. I have joy, and then I don't have joy, and it just seems... And David even did that in the Psalms. He says, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Can you remember when you got saved, how pumped you were? Go get repumped. Go back there. Go back and find where you lost your joy. You should be a joyful person. And I've sat with people that said, well, I'm happy, and happy's different. Joy's deep. But you know what? I am a person, as a counselor and as a paramedic, I look at nonverbal cues. Like, there's people can say things, but I'm always looking. You know, I told you that and some of you are a little nervous. You know, I'm talking to you, and I'm kind of looking at your color, seeing if you're breathing, you know, breathing at a regular rate. I do this all the time, so you kind of really be nervous now. And then your pupils, if your pupils are equal. Yeah, I do that, because that's the way I'm trained. And so when you get into this area of joy, I can see by what you're showing me whether you got joy or not. You can have joy in a tremendous situation of crises or trauma because you know the Savior. You know him. You know him who went to the cross for you, who did it with joy. You can put that into your life, and you can go through whatever because you have never got to the place of shedding your own blood for your sin. And he shed his blood for your sin. And then it says, after he had the joy, scorning the shame of the cross, sat down at the right hand of the Father. Sat at the right hand of the Father, sitting at the right hand of the Father, yet living inside of us. Sitting at the right, you know what? That's where he left. They had a little bit of a conference, and they said, you know what? It's time for you to go, Jesus, to become the Savior of the world. I'll just leave this seat open for you because, son, you're coming home. And you're not only coming home, you're coming home with a whole bunch of people that are called my family. You're coming home. And we're going to go home. Please understand that Jesus Christ is coming for his church, and it's only the church that has been opened into the family of God through Jesus Christ's blood, shed blood on the cross. It's the only way. There is no other way. Hear me. There is no other way to Jesus or to God the Father except through Jesus Christ. I don't care what any other theologian tells you. The Bible says that it's only through Jesus Christ that you can access heaven. Don't get caught up with these vain philosophies and these deceptive philosophies and religions. So, Acts chapter 7, Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, preached a powerful message and got stoned to death. Before he died, it's written about him, it says this, but Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of the Father. He is there because he died for our sins and he beat death. He rose from the dead. Nobody rises from the dead except the one who has got power over death. Now I'm spitting. This is so important that we start off this calendar year the way we look at life. That we start off with this inside of us burning like a fire. And then it says, consider him who endured opposition, such opposition from sinners so that you don't grow weary and lose heart. Oh, man. I spent that 24 hours with these kids, young adults. They so invigorated me. They so ministered to me. I was there to minister to them. They ministered to me. That was awesome. That's what they want to do. They want to go into 2018. They set up this whole retreat so that they could have input into their lives from some people that they felt that would really have that impact in their lives. They went after it. They ran for it. They connected with it. So consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And please understand this, and you'll get it this year. You'll be tempted. You'd be tempted in every way, and some of you, well, I won't fall into sin. I'm talking about tempted maybe just to pull out and say, you know what, God, you disappointed me. I'm not going to follow you anymore. So, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. Common. Understand, you're not alone. The enemy will say, well, you're the only one going through this. No, you're not. And God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Beyond what you can bear. I know I've been there and said, hey, you must have gotten me mixed up with somebody else, God, because this is all I can bear. You must have somebody more spiritual in mind. Did you get the names mixed up? Because I can't handle anymore. But this scripture says, yes, you can, because you haven't been to the place where you've had to die for the, shed your blood for the sin that you're in. Or the sin that comes against you in temptation. Please understand, temptation is not sin. But when you're tempted, he will also provide a way out so you can endure it. How was my run? How was I going to endure 10 kilometers with splints, shin splints? I would probably be in the ER getting my legs amputated. I don't know, after 10 kilometers. Or he gave me the strength and relaxed the muscles, and I was able to run. You might start off with a lot of pain in where you're going, but hang in there. Hang in there, because it will release, and you will see the victory in Jesus Christ. So don't lose heart. And it says, and I've said this a few times, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Romans 8:31 says this, What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? I told you that I was a bit of a, and this is hard for you to believe, but a bit of a mouthpiece when I was drinking in those days. And I'd shoot my mouth off, and that would usually end up in a fight or something. And then I had this big Metis guy. I mean, Joe Johnson. Joe, I hope you're here listening to this sermon. Joe was like this high above me. And he was like this, you know? And he says to me, Jim, you can say anything you want and I'll back you up. Whoa. Can you imagine how this mouth went then? I didn't care who it was. If they were smaller than Joe, and then they would respond and Joe would be going, and then he'd back down. Hey, that was then. This is now. You need to have that mouthpiece for Jesus. And you need to know that he's bigger than anyone else you're ever going to. He's bigger than the crowds. He's bigger than everything you're going to find that's coming against you. You need to understand that Jesus Christ is behind you. And he said, you just go ahead and tell him anything you want about me, and I'll back you up. You ever thought about that before, that Jesus is backing you up? We don't kind of think of Jesus. We think he's just like, oh, come to me, all you little children, and we'll just hug you. No, he's the warrior king. He's the Lord of lords. He is the warrior king. He rides on a horse. He's got a saber. He's got a sword. He's given us a sword. He's a warrior against evil and against darkness. And he's the light of the world, and he lives inside of you, and you will never, ever experience darkness if you understand how much light lives inside of you. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Don't you love it? So, right there, I don't know what you got for Christmas or what you missed, but I'll tell you, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Don't get focused on the physical things. What do you need spiritually? What do you need in your soul? Next week, Jim's going to come here and minister, and then he's going to take some time to show you how God brings healing into the broken and wounded parts of your life. That's what he's going to do. Is he a magician? No, he's not a magician. He's an anointed vessel of God, and he touches people's lives, and people get free and healed. You need to be here at that seminar, and people you know who are broken and wounded need to come, because God is going to do some amazing things. Tonight, we have a week of prayer still. Tonight at 7 o'clock, we're going to have prayer and healing. So if you know somebody or you have something, we're going to anoint you with oil and we're going to pray. Because I believe that that's what God wants us to do. And I want you to ask God to speak into your life prophetically. I asked a friend of mine to give me a word from God. And he did. It was amazing. A little risky for me. Amazing. Then somebody else prophesied over me last night, a young man who I respect, prophesied over me and encouraged me. And I was able to prophesy over other people. Oh, please, let's make this a year of connecting with God. Let's make it a year of Hebrews 12, 1 to 4. Let's make it a year where we don't where we don't stay the same, where we say, God, I want more. I'll just let you do whatever.